All right, let's start today by reading from the book of Revelation chapter 11. We're going to read two texts from that. This is our Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies Seminar, and the aim is to get kingdom principles for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises, so that through that we might build nations, develop the people, and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation chapter 11, we're also going to read 17, so let's read that 11 first. Now, it said from verse 15, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Please let me read that again. It said, "The kingdom of the world." Or if you have a King James, he said, "The kingdoms of the world have become," that's King James, "the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Now, bear that in mind, and quickly just rush down to 17, and let's see what it says there also. From verse 12, it said, "And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their authority, their power and authority to the beast. These wage war against the lamb," that is, using their power and authority, "they wage war against the lamb, and the lamb will overcome them." Why? "Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him," that is the lamb, "are the called and chosen and faithful." Let me explain something briefly from here, so as to underscore what I said yesterday about this matter of ministry and business and all of that. If you see here, he said this is the purpose of God, that the kingdom, I like to use the King James expression, that the kingdoms of the earth might become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. What do I mean by that? Yesterday, I explained something here, that please bear in mind that when we say, we talk about TBN, Daystar TV, and all of that, that's not what God really calls Christian television. That is church television, all right? It's Christian TV, I know, but what I mean is that what God is going for is not so that there will be 25 different TBN type and Daystar TV type channels around. What he wants is that, see, you don't have to change the name, it will remain CNN. Do you get my point? But then it will be under the influence of the kingdom of God. Are you getting my point? That's what they call a kingdom. People tell you that most of the sin in the world is being propagated from Hollywood, and that is not a lie. And every time people see, that is Hollywood, Nollywood, Bollywood, whatever wood you are dealing with, all right? People are not happy. Christians will tell you that is a corrupt set of people and all of that. But that's one kingdom. They have more influence, all right, on the behavior of your children than almost anybody else. Except you are a parent that takes time out to make sure you're at home, you watch what your children are watching. Like in my house, my children are not allowed to be there and see that they are watching a home video. My wife has decided that it's not safe, so don't let anybody have it. All right, it's true. My wife was telling me this morning that one of the teachers in school, my son's school, said that that's my second boy, Benga, that the boy is an Oyinbo boy. What does the teacher mean? That the guy will say, "Hey, see what I've got," you know, speak things like that. I don't speak for them in my house. Where does he learn it from? Watching TV, watching backyard games, watching cartoon, watching those people talk. That is, they have so much influence, all right, on your children, on yourself, all right? They affect the way you think more than you imagine, and that's the kingdom. And the Bible says that the kingdoms of the world, this is God's plan, all of them will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Do you get my point? Therefore, it is Christian ministry to seek to take over. Now, I'm telling you what I'm saying. I mean it absolutely. To seek to take over those influences. To be the one controlling Nollywood, Enuguwood, whatever it is you want to control. No, get what I'm trying to explain. Politics is not a dirty game. Christians need to get in and play it properly. Are you getting my point? Now, I will restate something I said yesterday about it, and which is the fact that we are going to learn God's principles. and automatically we will dominate. This is a fact that the heavens, that is the kingdom of God, rules over all. Do you understand my point? The Bible says the Lord is enthroned in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. What it means is this: if any man, if you've not listened to this message, please go and get it. That is part of our syllabus. Take hold of the kingdom. We have a series titled Training to Reign. The first message there is titled Take Hold of the Kingdom. What I explain in that message is this: once the kingdom of God is birthed in your own heart, in your life, automatically it will overcome everything that is outside. Do you get my point? That is, and listen to this, that's why we're doing this series. Once we learn God's order for doing things and we step into business, we will overcome. Do you get my point? We don't have to be sharp. Hear this. You don't have to be smarter than other people. You just need to learn God's order and you start doing it God's way. I don't know all the details of the political machinations that go on in America, but from outside, I have watched a few things. And anytime I sit down and watch Barack Obama, I smile. He's one of the youngest presidents they've ever had. You know that. His wife is the second youngest first lady there's ever been. The only person younger than her was Kennedy's wife, Jackie Kennedy. All right? Now, that is, the man is essentially a young man by American president standards. Very, very young. Now, listen to this, though. He was a senator for... Did he finish his first 10 years, eh? No, he didn't. He's the one that... for him to finish it, now they are replacing him. Because he has become president. Do you understand my point? Before that, he was in state senate. Before that, I think he was in his city council. Teaching law in the university, that was the job he knew. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, the man... he's not a rich man to have used money to buy this thing. But what am I bringing out? From the beginning, he set a set of rules for himself. And he stuck by those rules even when things were not good. I'm not taking money from any big man. There's a maximum amount of money we collect from anybody. Why? This is the reason why our politicians can't be unbiased, why they can't think straight. Therefore, we have to break that. It was tested a number of times. Listen, to get this is a senatorial seat, which is now causing wahala for somebody else who's trying to sell it now. You understand my point? He was going to contest against a very, very wealthy man who had money to spend. But the man refused to change his rules. Therefore, God removed that man for him. How did God do it? His former wife just went and granted an interview. Told him, he's a bad man, don't mind him. That's the other man's former wife. And of course, you know Americans, once your former wife said that, yeah, man, that is it, yeah, man. So the man had to pull out of the race. Why did I give that example? That he became what he has become now because he stuck to some basic rules from the beginning. Are you getting my point? When he was coming in for the presidential elections also, the same rules. But it turned out that using those same rules, he raised more money than any presidential candidate ever before him, using the same rules. In the afternoon, we're going to watch a movie. All right? And what I want to bring from there is that you must dare to be different. Because I've talked to people before. Take this Nollywood kind of thing. I talked to people before. They say, there's no way you can make a successful movie except all these big names are in there. And when I hear it, I shake my head. I say, you don't get where I'm coming from. And it's amazing when people say things like that. Because experiences in life before now have shown us that it doesn't have to be like that. When this guy made Titanic, who's the big man in Titanic? No, when they made Titanic, when the first time you saw it, you were seeing most of the faces for the first time in your life. Titanic made Leonardo DiCaprio. He did not make Titanic. He became famous for the success of Titanic. When this man made Passion of the Christ, which big name did you find in there? Apart from himself, who did not show up inside the movie? Which big name? So when people say things like that, it really upsets me that why don't you learn from history? Dare to be different. I'm going to talk about that one later. You must dare to be different. I told you two things I gained from reading Mama Eunice's book and Warren Buffett is that both of them made it clear that you can dare to be different. Are you getting my point? Now, this is why I'm going to explain it to us again. We learn God's principles, then we apply them normally. With no hard, you're not trying to strive. And watch it, you will become lucky. You know, I discussed the meaning of the word luck. Doors will open themselves for you. Are you getting my point? Therefore, your job, this is a Christian job, is not outward. You know, we spend a lot of money going for business seminars. They are good, I'm not saying they are bad. But what you need to spend most of your money on first is to change the attitude of your heart. Once that has been changed, what will come out outwardly is automatic. That's what I'm trying to explain. Let me get back to the text we read. So this is how it goes. It said that the kingdom of the world, all these kingdoms, the kingdom of power, kingdom of school, education, kingdom of entertainment, music, movies, all of them, all these kingdoms, this is God's order. They will become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Now, the second scripture we read showed us something. That when we're talking about the beast, he doesn't fight for himself. People fight for him. That's why I said these 10 kings give their power and their authority to the beast. In the same manner, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't fight for himself. People fight for him. That's why the Bible said he's Lord of lords and what? King of kings. That is, there are kings that are doing his bidding. Do you understand my point? There are kings that are doing his bidding. And he said, those who are with him, those are those kings. He said, they are the called, the chosen, the faithful. We are not talking about those three qualifications now. But for you to understand that the purpose of God will be served through your hands. That's what I'm trying to explain. If God is going to take over any kingdom, it's not because he'll just shoot. You know, it's movie that all those things happen. Just take his magic wand. Shroom. And then the kingdom, the whole place, he was black before, just changed to white. That one a movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, God is now reigning here. You turn around, Gabriel, where's the next one? He said, there's another kingdom. Shoom, you just shoot. And then their color will just change. No, that's not how he does it. How does he do it? Somebody will get up and go in there and begin to walk. And God will elevate the person. And that's how God's kingdom is entrenched. When one of his kings is now reigning there on his behalf. Do you understand the point? And that's why we said that this thing is a ministry. All right, I want to read something to us. Please be careful to listen to this very attentively, all right? And I can print it later, or you can copy it if you want. It's something I want, some materials I got from somewhere on the web, quite many years ago, actually, more than 6 years ago. And I've studied it. So I lost it some time ago. I looked for it again. I found it. It's something that about some people wrote it, an article titled Business as Mission. So I wanted to listen to this. It's part of what we're discussing. Because I know we don't have all the time, let me just say the points I'm going to make this morning. I will try and rush over each one so that I can take a few questions. 3 points I must make today, all right? I hope. It's number one, a Christian business, or true business, forget the word Christian, let's drop it, all right? It's Christians that do good business, all right? You understand the point I'm making? It's not as if you go and put Jesus is coming soon, international marketing company. For us to know, that's not what we are saying, all right? Put your own personal name. It is good. All right? If your name is Chukwubeke, just put it there. Chukwubeke International Marketing. It's okay. Do you follow my point? No, I'm serious about that. You don't have to spiritualize the name. El Shaddai Incorporated times 2 is not necessary. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not necessary. That's not what you give. In fact, I pray you don't do it. All right? Look for a very funky name for your business. That average person on the road won't know the meaning. Or use your own personal name. If you want to use Christian name, look for Greek, Hebrew. Like Keruzo. Very nice name. Soteria. Don't you choose that one. Some people have used it already. Alright? You can use Sozo Lies. It's Greek for salvation. Sozo. Same thing as Soteria. Soteria means salvation. You can use those names that don't make any meaning to anybody, but don't use it. For your information, if you go to any business and you see, welcome, Jesus is the head of all this business, go to the next one. They're usually crooks. They're usually dubious people. Now, this is Nigerian factor. They are usually dubious people. You know the reason? They are disarming you with that logo. Trust us, even when we are killing you. Now, I'm not saying everybody that has it is a crook. I'm just saying that be careful. Don't be carried away. You get there, you see them write it. Have you prayed today? Jesus is coming soon. Some men sold trousers for someone on campus. You enter their shop. You know those songs? Amen, Jesus is alive. That's what was playing inside the place. And then we went, students, nice men, make trousers for us now. Everything we said they should do was what they did not do. And I never forgot. And if you see Almanac, Jesus crucified straight, Peter crucified upside down, John crucified to the left, Paul being beheaded, all of them, all over the walls. Do my trouser like this was the very thing they did not do. If you like, crucify your own Jesus Christ 17 times, I ain't coming back to your shop. The Muslim next door that obeys my instruction is a better Christian than you. One of the things we are going to discuss is excellence in business. Seest thou a man who is skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Don't you go to church so much you don't have time to make decent clothes for your customer. You see, there are people that are guaranteed disappointers in life. And one of the things you will do to become an excellent businessman as a Christian is to break that hold. The only tailor that sews my cloth on time is a Malam. Ask my wife. If you see me wear native, it's one Hausa man in Benin that makes it. He's the only person on earth I have seen, and he's a Muslim. Please, if you know any other one that's prompt all the time, come and introduce me to him and him to me. If you want to be a good businessman as a Christian, these are the things you must learn. Do you understand my point? Look, don't make promises you can't keep. I'm not saying you must promise. Like that man wouldn't promise. I will beg, by the time my friend said, look, this is the best I can do. But if he says it, he will do it. He's the only person I know. Oh, there's a tailor I know, his name is Brother This. I will not tell you his name. He's a brother. Goes to one of these holiness churches. One day we went there. I went to go and make cloth. Then DJ was a much younger man, so I could still sew cloth for him. But now he can sew cloth for me. This was many years ago. So DJ and I went. Alright, this one is for me. This one is for this young man. He said, okay. Then the day we came to collect the cloth, long after, I wore my own. I just didn't tie it like this. He said, actually, he forgot which one was for who. So he just... Jokes apart, he made, I know that time because I was the one paying, the one I bought for myself was twice the cost of the one I bought for the, you can imagine what I'm saying. So he made the expensive one for the young man. Can you believe that? And I said, for goodness sake, why didn't you wait for me to come? He said, he didn't want to disappoint. What the one you have done now is what? They didn't want me to come. And I discovered the material is not ready. I said, wait. So the one you have done now, in which the material can never ever be ready again. Ha. The Lord is good though. I said, look, so please, when we're talking about Christian business, don't forget the name, Christian. It's not necessary. Let's talk about good business. But we have the Spirit of Christ. Do you understand my point? And it will be manifested, not in the name we bear, but in the excellence with which we do what we are doing. That's the point I'm trying to make in all of these things. Now, let me just read that thing I said I read to you. Now, please get ready for a bit of a surprise. This story is about Guinness. How many of you know Guinness? Yeah, you know it as a bottle. It's somebody's name, actually. All right? Yeah, somebody's name. The man who invented and developed that drink, his name is Otto Guinness. All right. Let me just read this out and listen. He said, in the time of revival... Now, somebody says, this is why they headed it. It's a Guinness, the missionary drink. From the files of things Christians were never meant to find out. that's supposed to be like a half joke, all right? So, in the time of revival, at the turn of the last century in Britain, it was as if God poured out an entrepreneurial gift on his church, and people started doing things that were unheard of. These are the people... Normal people in the pews, listen to that, that God got hold of and helped them to use their entrepreneurial skills to change society, to see churches grow, and to see missions grow. Did you notice that? What did they do? They used their entrepreneurial skills to change society, to see churches grow, and to see missions grow. Write this down. Everybody write this down. ICCC.net. It's a website. ICC. Okay, let me read it out. International Christian chambers of commerce. ICCC.net. Just note that. It's a place where you can... I don't know much about the organization, but then this material, I first saw it there. All right? And they still have issues there, you know? Things that you can relate with and get something from. It's International Christian Chambers of Commerce. There's ICCC.org and .com. Those are the three are different organizations. All right? So make sure you get that .net right. All right? It's not .com. It's not .org. And if you forget it, just type on Google. Christian Chamber Commerce. Google will take you there. All right? Now, so this is where I first saw this article. Now, notice what this man said here. He said, God took hold of normal people in the pews and helped them to use their entrepreneurial skills to change society, to see churches grow, and to see missions grow. One of them was a man called Otto Guinness. Now listen, Guinness was a wonderful drink. It's a black, dark beer with a white head, and if you've never drank it, I don't want to encourage you to drink it. That's what the person wrote. But it's rather nice. I don't think so. It's my personal opinion. I think it tastes awful. All right? But it's rather nice. So, give it a try. He said, you know, we had my own. Please don't bother. He said, Guinness is the national drink of Ireland. He said, you've probably all heard of Guinness, but don't know his personal history. He said, Guinness was a young man who was once walking the streets of Ireland, crying out to God, God, do something about the drunkenness on the streets of Ireland. He said, everyone was getting drunk on whiskey. And there were whiskey houses, gin houses, etc. And his cry to God was to do something about the alcoholism on the streets of Ireland. And he felt God speak to him. In fact, he felt God say this, make a drink that men will drink that will be good for them. That was his mandate from the Lord. Make a drink that men will drink that will be good for them. He then brewed a beer and called it Guinness. It's a dark stout beer. You can still get it on the national... Now, when this was written, I don't know when this was written, some time ago. So you can still get it on the National Health Service prescribed to you when you are pregnant because it's so good for you. My wife drank it throughout her first pregnancy. I hope your own wife won't do something like this. Now, you'll see the reason in a moment why I said that. Guinness is exported from Ireland as a food, not as a drink. All right, an alcoholic beverage. Because it is so full of minerals and natural trace elements, etc. It has incredible qualities to it. So Guinness made men a drink that was good for them. He was an entrepreneur, and believe it or not, people started buying it and drinking it. And now it's the national drink of Ireland. Irishmen don't go and drink much whiskey. They go and drink Guinness. And it's almost impossible. Now you see why I told you to note this, all right? He said, it's almost impossible to get drunk on Guinness because it's so heavy. Obviously, what you are drinking here is not what he's describing. That's the point I'm making. That's what I'm saying. They don't try. He said, because it's so heavy, so full of iron, that you feel so full, you can't drink more than a couple of pints. It has a fairly low alcohol level. You now put in bracket, okay, the recipe has changed recently. And it's a bit more alcoholic than it used to be, so don't try it. The man who wrote this is the one that put it now. This is just by the way. Somebody said, Warren Buffett said, what wise men do at the beginning, fools do at the end. Do you understand the point? That if something is started in a particular fashion, at the end of the day, when you see it, you don't recognize it anymore. So what? Let me just say that clearly. Like he said in this article, it's more alcoholic now than it used to be when it was first made. So I believe that the Guinness is describing here is not the one being brewed down the road. All right? All right, but at least I hope you are getting the spirit of what we are saying. Okay? The man made his drink. And you know, just by the way, you know even Gulda now has Gulda Max. They keep on souping up the alcoholic content, trying to, you know, to appeal to people who want to get drunk. But when Guinness made his drink, it was so as to prevent people from getting drunk. Do you get my point? They were drinking a lot of whiskey. So he made something that they would drink rather than whiskey that was very low in alcohol, had a lot of nutrients. So men would drink and be healthy. The women could even drink it. That's what he was trying to say. And it was being prescribed by doctors because it contained a lot of minerals. That was what the man made as a cure for people getting drunk. But now I think it's an incentive to get drunk. Now you see, this is just another thing you should bear in mind. A lot of times people don't know the history of things. You know where somebody is coming from? Now, we don't have that problem.